Ray Brown's Talking Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. BirdwatchersGeneralStore.com.
By Vortex Optics, with the VIP warranty. Their unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. Learn more at VortexOptics.com. And by Hog Island Audubon Camp. For full camp schedule, program details, and to register, visit hogisland.audubon.org.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and welcome to our show number 1039, during which we'll learn some fascinating facts about flamingo feeding, including how what they do might teach people a new way to fight pollution. Plus, Mike O'Connor will appear from the Talking Birds Archive with his views on some pretty cool birds and birding online courses. And we'll have more details about our exciting Make Your Own Swag contest. We'll start off with not one, not two, but three listener-provided audio postcards from Jane and Dan and Steve. One from the Southeast U.S., one from the Northeast, and one from the Midwest. In this first one, we won't hear a human voice because Jane Johnston, who sent this to us, was camping at Corshon State Park in Estero, Florida. And it was after midnight, and she didn't want to disturb her slumbering fellow campers by speaking. So we'll just hear the bird she was listening to, a Chuck Wills widow. Thank you, Jane. By the way, we haven't heard the last of the Chuck Wills widow on today's show. Right now, the second of our three audio postcards. This one is from New England, Massachusetts, Cape Cod.
Good evening, everyone, here on beautiful Cape Cod, covering the grill after a delicious meal. Red Morph Eastern Screech Owl is saying hello. Been very active the last week or two. Last week, there was a few of them going back and forth. Happy birding.
Thank you so much, Dan. And now another famous birding place, as Cape Cod is. This one is kind of a legendary place in Northwest Ohio.
Hey, Ray. This is Steve Jones from LaRue, Ohio. I'm calling from McGee Marsh after wrapping up what was an awesome day at Tom Bartlett's Big Sit. We had 98 species, and each of those species, people have donated what amounts to $17 per species. So $17 times 98, that's a pretty decent number for one day of birding. The money that they donated goes to the BSBO, or the Black Swamp Bird Observatory, for their education fund. Our most numerous bird of the day were blue jays, where we had just rafts of blue jays flying over. But our best bird of the day has to be the black-billed magpie. We had one that flew over with a bunch of the blue jays, and when we saw it, we screamed out so that everybody on the bird walk could look up and see it themselves, and we had many people get to see the magpie, including me. For me, it was a lifer for the state of Ohio and for the United States, so it was a great little treat for me for there as well. This is Tom Bartlett's 30th year of doing the Big Sit. And they've been able to donate a lot of money to the Black Swamp Bird Observatory for their education of young birders. Like when schools come to the McGee Marsh and places like that around that, they will help pay for their gas and stuff like that, so the students don't have to pay a fee from their school. And then there's other opportunities where they help other students and such. So anyway, you have a great day and happy birding.
Happy birding to you, Steve. And we got a note, a follow-up note from Steve about that fundraising through that Big Sit. And he tells us that more than $80,000 was raised for Black Swamp Bird Observatory's education program for young birders. That's pretty cool. We love getting audio postcards. We know people love hearing them. It was invented by our own Freya McGregor. Send us an audio postcard. Just grab your smartphone or digital device and describe what you're seeing or hearing wherever you're seeing or hearing birds, including in your backyard. Just send the file to ray@talkingbirds.com, and we'll put it on the air. Well, our Make Your Own Swag Contest 2025 is underway. Now, this contest came about originally when folks asked us if they could buy some Talking Birds swag, like hats and T-shirts. But instead of sending out a bunch of stuff like that, we just created some little iron-on Talking Birds patches that we send out at no charge that you could attach to an existing hat or T-shirt or backpack or whatever, and thereby making your own swag, Talking Birds swag. So that's the contest. The way it works is you send us a request for a patch, which we'll send right out to you, and you take a picture of yourself or a friend wearing that item with a patch attached. Then send us the photo for a chance to win some beautiful prizes. Our judges will pick favorite photos 5 weeks in a row, and then we'll do a random drawing in which everyone who sends us a photo will have a chance to win the grand prize. And that's a Vortex HD Diamondback 16 to 48 by 65 spotting scope. And lots of accessories, I'm sure, will be included. The weekly prizes include a copy of Ken Kaufman's great new book, The Birds That Audubon Missed, plus a very special bird feeder, an extra special one from Brome Bird Care, a 2-year subscription to BWD Magazine, along with a copy of the amazing new Birdwatching for Dummies book, featuring contributors like the great Julie Zicafus, and about a 6-month supply of delicious bird-friendly coffee from Birds and Beans, plus 2 best-selling books by Mike O'Connor, along with an official Birdwatchers General Store baseball cap, and a $50 gift certificate for wonderful bird-themed items from Bird Collective. Send in your patch request right away because time is already getting tight. We'll start announcing winners on our next show. Email your patch request to ray@talkingbirds.com. That's ray@talkingbirds.com. Do it today so you won't be late. And don't forget about that Vortex HD Spotting Scope grand prize. This year is our mystery bird. Preview of the contest that's coming along a little bit later on. Want to get you ready for it with some clues, and you just heard the sound of our bird or one of its sounds. Our mystery bird is a slender, long-tailed black bird with a short, smooth, and very large rounded bill. It forages on the ground for snakes and lizards and also captures insects, stirred up by grazing cattle and lawnmowers. Our bird, which is related to cuckoos and roadrunners, is a South Florida resident here in the U.S. It's also found throughout the West Indies and down into South America. That's our mystery bird. Fabulous prizes await, including from fresh-cut paper, 5 of those gorgeous bouquets that are wilt-proof, crafted to last a lifetime, and featuring now the Hummingbird Oasis Bouquet. This is a really cool one. Brought to life with a kaleidoscope of hummingbirds that take flight with a gentle pull. Fresh cut, by the way, plants a tree for every bouquet sold. And they have a partnership with 1% for the Planet, by which part of their annual revenue goes to environmental causes. And these things, of course, have a carbon footprint much, much smaller than imported flowers. And from Brome Bird Care, the Brome Squirrel Solution 150 feeder, genuinely squirrel-proof and chew-proof as well. Prizes on our mystery bird contest. We'll do the actual thing a little bit later on. And here's a salute from another Talking Birds ambassador. Ambassadors are the royalty of the Talking Birds family, just helping us get the word about our show out to new folks interested in birds or maybe not even aware of the whole world of birds. And we want to say thank you to Tasha from Tucker, Georgia, naturalist Tasha, she sometimes calls herself. She's also a proud plurter, by the way. We'll talk about that aspect of Tasha's birding activities coming soon as well. But she says this, as for my favorite thing about birding, there are so many things that come to mind. I appreciate the mental clarity birding provides. It being an equitable hobby, anyone can tap into, no matter where you are, and how it gets you outdoors to enjoy nature's beauty. And beautifully said, Tasha, thank you so much for becoming a Talkin' Birds ambassador. Well, dear Talkin' Birds listeners, if you like our show, please consider joining Tasha by becoming a Talkin' Birds ambassador and help us introduce that mental clarity that birding provides to more folks who'll be glad you handed them a Talkin' Birds card. We'll send you a batch of those when you sign up. You can hand them out at your leisure, of course. To do it, just click on the Get Involved tab at talkinbirds.com. It's really easy. Still to come today, we thought we knew all about how flamingos feed, but new research has revealed some remarkable new details. And we'll learn some of them when we visit the Talkin' Birds Science Corner with our own Debbie Bleacher. Also today, Mike O'Connor will join us from a Let's Ask Mike segment almost live from the archive about some cool online courses through which you can expand your birding knowledge. And up next, as promised, more about the bird we heard in Jane Johnston's audio postcard, the Chuck Wills Widow, is this week's featured feathered friend. The Chuck Wills Widow is one of the nightjars, birds that hunt at dawn and dusk and at night. It's larger than relatives like the eastern and Mexican whippoorwills, common nighthawk, and common parakeet. The Chuckwills Widow has a large, flat head, a long tail, and long wings. Its upper parts are a mixture of buff, brown, and black. Males have thin white stripes on the tail, while females' tails have a buffy spot at the tip. The Chuckwills Widow, known for the non-stop nocturnal calling of its name, hunts by flying low over the ground in search of insects with a diet that's sometimes supplemented by small birds and bats. The size of its gaping mouth is reflected in its genus name, Antrostomus, which translates roughly to cavern mouth. The Chuckwills Widow's breeding grounds span territory from Kansas and Texas and parts of Michigan down through the mid-Atlantic and Gulf states. And there's a year-round population in South Florida where Jane Johnston recorded her audio postcard. Thanks, Jane, for inspiring this featured feathered friend segment, spotlighting Antrostomus carolinensis, the Chuckwills Widow. Welcome again to our show number 1039. And now, we invite you to
come up to the lab and see what's on the slab.
Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Ray.
So you've learned that there's more to flamingo feeding than we used to think?
Yeah. I was surprised when I heard there was new research on this. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all know how they feed, right? They hold their heads upside down in shallow water, passively filter feeding. What else is there to know?
Well, I guess there is something else.
There is. An article in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences has revealed there's a lot more to it. Flamingos are actually active hunters of krill and other tiny water creatures.
Hunters? Huh. Interesting. By the way, who did the research?
This was a group out of UC Berkeley headed by Dr. Victor Ortega Jimenez, who had apparently wondered about flamingo feeding for years. His lab collaborated with the Nashville Zoo, which trained three flamingos to feed from a clear container so the researchers could take videos of the water movement. But before I get into the study, let me remind everyone how flamingos feed. They stand in shallow water and they make three motions. They bob their heads up and down in the water, they chatter their beaks, and they stomp their feet.
Okay, bobbing, chattering, and stomping. And what did they discover about the effects of those movements?
Well, first, they discovered that when the flamingos bob their heads, they generate a vortex in the water that stirs up small particles from the bottom, particles that the flamingo wants to eat. And by the way, the team later 3D printed a flamingo head so they could bob it at predictable speeds and angles.
Ooh, wow. Then what?
Well, the second movement they looked at was the beak chattering that flamingos do while bobbing their heads. It turns out that this gives direction to the vortices, so particles get pulled into the flamingo's mouth.
So that covers the bobbing and the chattering. How about the stomping?
Yeah. So when flamingos stomp their feet, the feet open and close almost like umbrellas, and they're pretty big. The stomping helps them trap tiny critters and pull them up from the bottom so the flamingo can catch them with the head bobbing and beak chattering. The researchers made a 3D model of a foot to examine this too. So it turns out that all three of these main feeding movements stir up food particles, and all three work together so that the flamingo filter feeds actively, not passively.
Okay. Is there any application for this research beyond knowing how flamingos feed?
It so happens there is. Understanding flamingo feeding movements can help us design systems to remove small particles from water, like pollutants and harmful microorganisms.
Oh, nice. And you'll put a link to this research on our social media, right?
Oh, of course, yeah. The original paper contains great videos of all these movements. So if you get bogged down in the technical language, you can just watch the flamingos. And in case you're wondering, their names are Maddie, Marty, and Cayenne. You'll also see video of the 3D printed head and foot.
I was wondering. Cool. Thanks, Debbie, for another fascinating visit in the Talking Birds Science Corner.
You're welcome, Ray.
And thank you, Maddie, Marty, and Cayenne. Up next, it's our Mystery Bird Contest in just 1 minute.
The flutter of a tail feather. The flash of a wing bar in mid-flight. You don't always have a lot of time to identify a bird in nature, let alone to appreciate its beauty. But with Vortex Optics, you'll have the power to bring every wild moment closer. When you choose Vortex, you're choosing to have a partner in the field as passionate about nature as you are. Whether you're spotting old friends on the backyard feeder or packing for a once-in-a-lifetime trip to add a few species to your life list, Vortex offers a full range of optics and optics accessories for every birder and every budget. And whether the birds are taking you to another state or another country, you're always covered by the Vortex VIP warranty, an unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. If you'd like to learn more, or if you need help choosing your next optic, give Vortex a call at 1-800-4-VORTEX or visit vortexoptics.com.
Our mystery bird. It's a slender, long-tailed black bird with a short, smooth, and very large, rounded bill. It forages on the ground for snakes and lizards. Also captures insects, stirred up by grazing cattle and lawnmowers. Our bird, which is related to cuckoos and roadrunners, is a South Florida resident in the U.S. It's also found throughout the West Indies and down into South America. That's our mystery bird. Beautiful prizes from fresh-cut paper, those gorgeous life-sized pop-up floral bouquets, wilt-proof and crafted to last a lifetime. And that Brome Squirrel Solution 150 feeder, genuinely squirrel-proof and chew-proof as well. Prizes on our Mystery Bird Contest, and the all-important phone number is right here. It's 781-837-4900. And in case you missed that, here it is again. It's 781-837-4900. Meanwhile, we're going back to last year, 2024, on the first day of spring with Mike O'Connor. It's Let's Ask Mike in just 1 minute. Hog Island Audubon Camp has welcomed nature enthusiasts to its shores since 1936. It's a program of the Seaburn Institute, and the island hosts five-night sessions for adults, teens, and families taught by the world's leading naturalists, ornithologists, and artists. Hog Island campers deepen their relationships with the birds and the ecosystems around them during the island's immersive educational camps.
New for the 2025 camp season is Let's Go Birding Together. Scheduled during peak fall migration, this session is a safe space for queer birders to connect with nature and each other while learning ways to foster a similar environment in their community's home. For full Hog Island schedule, program details, and to register, visit hogisland.audubon.org. Let's connect to Cape Cod, Massachusetts, Orleans, to be specific, where Mike O'Connor awaits with Let's Ask Mike Live. Good morning, Mike. And happy...
Quite a show. I like some of that, those repeated things going on back and forth there.
Yeah, we like to add a little variety, you know, not the same thing all the time, you know.
I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
I have no idea. I think I was going to say happy spring. That must have been it.
Today's first day of spring?
Today, I guess, is the first full day of spring.
Oh, my God. I got to get out there. Sorry, I got to go.
First full day. You need to go out there and look at some birds. You haven't done that since, well, this morning, probably.
That's right.
Yeah. And I know you've got screech owls nesting in your yard, and you kind of got...
It seems like it, yeah. You know what? And the tree swallows will be back. They always come back, like, April 1st. It's like a joke, but they always seem to come back, so they'll be on their way.
We had tree swallows nesting in our Talkin' Birds garden right behind our radio station here last year, so hoping they're going to be back again this year.
We should have them on the show.
Yeah, we might do our show from our Talkin' Birds garden.
We
might just do that. But there's something else you wanted to talk about from the Cornell Lab of Ornithology and their Bird Academy, right?
Correct. You know, while we're waiting for the weather to get better and the spring to arrive, maybe we should, bone up on our birding skills. And I had never really taken a class. I know you had, but I had done it. So I did a search online, and I found Cornell's what they call Bird Academy. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with the Early Bird Academy, which I think is a restaurant in some retirement community in Florida. But they offer a number of classes. They range from about $30 to, I think, even like $240. Mm-hmm. But some are a few hours long. Some are like 100 hours long, and they're very detailed. So I saw one on owls that I took, and it was like $60. And they focus on little snippets of owls from all over the world, some I never heard of in parts of the world I wasn't familiar with. And I was, and in my business, people ask me about owls all the time. And believe it or not, I don't know everything. I know that's hard to imagine. So I was going to try to learn some stuff to share with people. But then as I was looking at the website, they have a link on the Bird Academy website on videos, and these videos I soon found out were free, and there were dozens and dozens and dozens of these short little videos that Cornell's put together, and they're stunning. They're really, really, really good. Some are just a minute or two long. They talk about bird songs, how to identify bird songs, how to identify birds at your feeder. Some on trips, on events they've done, like how they brought the puffins back to the coast of Maine. Those projects, the photography is just brilliant. There's islands off the coast of Alaska. It's just a really, really good source that I didn't even know that was out there. Things on loons, things on courting, migration, and they're short. So if you have the attention span like I have, which is, you know, maybe about 45 seconds, it's just a thing for you. And you can go on forever, and you can scan through them, and you can watch them, and then you can move on to something else. Some might be 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And I didn't know they were there. And they're really, really, really birds you never heard of, but you're fascinated now. You want to learn more. I thought this was a really good source for people who want to get that juices flowing to go birding again, because you've kind of gotten lazy over the winter. And you'll see this and you'll think, I got to get out there again. It's really, really, really good. Interesting.
Yeah, nice. I took that long form course a couple of years ago when it was still in notebook form. And I guess it was more than a couple of years ago. Yeah, Bird Academy. And I think...
No, it's good. You know, it's funny because you just think, I don't know anything. And to have these programs help you kind of get yourself back into it again. Mm-hmm. I think it's really good. And I also, you know, enjoy your guest today because getting us to slow down. Because I know as soon as I go to a birding spot, I jump out of the car and I race down the trail. And half the birds, the best birds, are still in the parking lot. And I can watch your video too, because that'll get me to slow down a little bit.
You need to slow down just a little bit. Yeah, you just need to just relax a little bit.
Chill out.
All right, Mike, thank you. I think it's allaboutbirds.org for those Cornell courses is the good way to find that from the mistake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I think that's all right. Happy spring, everybody. Get out there as soon as it turns nice.
Talk to you next week, Mike.
Sounds great. Okay.
By the way, that piece with Mike was from the first day of spring, 2024. We'll look up the show date in case you want to check that out, and some of his references there. We'll definitely get that on next week's show. But right now we're at the Mystery Bird Contest trying to identify this slender, long-tailed black bird with a short, smooth, and very large rounded bill, a bird that forages on the ground for snakes and lizards, also captures insects on the ground, stirred up by things like cattle and lawnmowers, stuff like that. Okay, on the Mystery Bird Contest, here we go. Not much time left, as usual. 781-837-4900 is the number to call to identify our mystery bird and win those fabulous prizes. And Michael is somewhere in the Empire State, the great state of New York. Hello, Michael.
The center of Long Island, Center Reach.
Center Reach, Long Island. All right, beautiful. Michael, you heard the clues and the sound that we figure, and you figure what...
Smooth-billed Annie.
Smooth bills. Ah, you didn't even need me to ask you what the bird was right there. Smooth-billed Annie is absolutely correct. We have the smooth build, we have the groove build, Annie as well. And therefore, you have won the prize in the contest. I think we have time for a bonus question if you'd like to go for it.
Definitely.
And we have to apologize. I have this, I don't know, we try to keep track of these, but I may have mixed this up. But you can tell me if you've heard this before. Here is our bonus question. Multiple choice. When scientists embarked recently on a biological survey in northwest Peru, where the Andes Mountains meet the Amazon rainforest, they didn't expect to find much biodiversity, since most of their study sites were located near heavily populated areas that have been affected by deforestation, agricultural expansion, and illegal hunting and fishing. However, they were delighted and surprised to discover an ecological richness. By the end of their 38-day expedition through the Alto Mayo landscape, they'd uncovered 27 species new to science. That's all pretty amazing in itself. Does this sound familiar, Michael? Have you heard us talk about this?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure either.
That's my memory.
All right, we're both in the same boat. Well, okay, anyway, one of the species that they found was which of the following? A fish that can climb trees, B, a flightless bird that feeds exclusively on mushrooms, or C, an amphibious web-footed mouse. Which one of those do you think? I mean, this is kind of a silly question anyway.
I'm going to say B.
B, which would be a flightless bird that feeds exclusively on mushrooms, which is actually not the one there. That would be pretty cool if they found a bird like that, but it's actually the web-footed mouse that can swim kind of like a duck. Just amazing.
Interesting.
It is interesting and so fascinating, and it's just amazing to think how many creatures are still out there in the year 2025 that we don't even know about yet.
Thank you. Yeah.
But in any case, Michael, we have those beautiful prizes for you from Fresh Cut Paper and Brome Bird Care. If you'll stay on the line, Jesse will get your info and take care of all that.
Great.
All right. Thank you, Michael, who correctly identified the smooth bill Annie or smooth bill Annie as our mystery bird. Please don't forget about our Make Your Own Swag contest. Send your request for a patch as soon as you can to ray@talkingbirds.com. We'll send one right out to you. Send us a photo with the patch attached for you or on you or a friend. And have a chance at some fabulous prizes. Thanks for being with us. Next week, the legendary Peter Alden will be our special guest. See you next week.
Ray Brown's Talkin' Birds.
Made possible by the generous support of the Birdwatchers General Store, Orleans, Cape Cod. Birdwatchersgeneralstore.com.
By Vortex Optics, with the VIP warranty. Their unlimited lifetime promise to keep you and your optic covered. Learn more at vortexoptics.com. And by Hog Island Audubon Camp. For full camp schedule, program details, and to register, visit hogisland.audubon.org.